Let's begin with the most commonly asked question. When does the soul leave the body? Well, at the exact moment of death. Based on my many years of experience in terminal care, I can say how everyone present at the moment of a person's death is aware of that precise moment when the soul leaves the body. For most people, this recognition is not at a conscious level of awareness, but instead at a preconscious level. Friends, relatives, even nursing staff report to me how, whilst the body looked the same after the death, they could feel something of the essence of the person they had known leave at that very moment of their last breath. However, over the last few days of life, the soul leaves the body for periods of time before the final separation we understand as death, as though making a final preparation for an all-important journey into the next life, to make connections with those people who have gone before, who will carry us through the transition. Many people spend times of reverie, not sleep, and reported to me how they saw and talked with those who were close to them in life, but who are now dead. Naturally, this process occurs at the end of a long disease, or days after a serious accident, before the person finally dies. Death, like our birth, is a natural process, which we all deep down know how to approach and deal with. We didn't need to be instructed on how to be born, and likewise, if we are supported in the right way, then our death, the separation of the subtle energetic self or soul from the physical body which housed the soul as we travelled through life, is just as easy. We are viewing death from a very different perspective than the commonly accepted understanding about the subject. When I talk to you about there being a powerful, tangible, but subtle, energetic, unseen body, which is the real you. This subtle body, or for some people, what they will term soul connection, is what mediums, faith healers, and now many complementary practitioners, both see and focus on in their work. Imagine the benefit to you as an individual if, instead of needing others to help you to work with this subtle energy connection, that, through an ever-growing awareness, you can work with this powerful and important aspect of your real self. Strangely enough, by understanding more about what happens in preparation and for the moment of our death, you are able to understand more about your life and living it to the full, when you are more clearly aware of what death really is, the final separation of the real you from the physical world you experienced through your body. One of the first things we notice when someone is preparing for their death is that they become far more sensitive to this subtle energy world than at any other time in their life, save for periods of intense crisis, which can, for most, temporarily make them aware of, if you like, sudden insights or gut reactions. You may have experienced this yourself, or heard from others' experience of being with dying relatives, how the person reports seeing friends in the room who have themselves died. When teaching doctors and nurses to work in terminal care, I encourage them to explore making a connection with their own intuition, inner guidance, to help them to work openly with dying patients. Why? Because, as I have already said, the dying person accesses other levels of sensitivity and can detect your thoughts, feelings, apprehension by using a level of understanding far removed from words alone. One 31-year-old married lady, who was in the last days of her life after a long illness involving cancer, was able to accurately report seeing her cousin in a hospital room crying and receiving comfort from her husband. As I sat with her at her bedside, unknown to the two of us, what she was reporting to me as a dream had actually happened elsewhere in the hospital only a few minutes before. My patient was able to describe the room in considerable detail, although she herself had never actually seen this room. A few minutes later, this lady's husband opened the door and looked across at me. He looked grey and physically drained, and asked if I would step out into the corridor. Peter told me how Jane's cousin had flown from Ireland to visit, but on hearing of Jane's condition and the ravages which the final stages of cancer had created, she had broken down emotionally, and finally the two of them had decided that it was better that she did not see Jane. Jane had watched this in her mind's eye, and reported it to me in spectacular detail.